This is A Drink with a Friend. I'm Tish Oxenreiter. And I have to admit, first off, that I first recorded this episode on a walk. I thought it would be charming and quaint to talk to you as I went on one of my daily walks. And I came back and Kyle and I tested the sound and it was full of wind and other typical noises around an ordinary neighborhood. And it just wasn't great. So I'm re-recording this at my trusty old desk with my microphone and typical recording things. So let's just pretend you and I are going on a walk, shall we? That this is you joining me around my neighborhood, and I'm telling you why I think it's best that we choose to live locally wherever we are planted. Sound good with you? All right, let's do it. So about 2 years ago, I want to say, I mentioned here on the podcast and I wrote an ensuing essay about the idea of living within a 100-mile radius. Now, what did I mean by that? I did not mean that for a particular challenge I was going to do for that year, that I would only live within a 100-mile radius around my house and never leave it. It simply meant living small and local, choosing as best as possible for me to participate and buy from and invest my time in only the areas that were immediately around me within roughly 100 miles. That meant that whenever I would travel, that circle would move with me. So 100 miles within my immediate surroundings in any possible way. And for me, living in Central Texas, that meant roughly from north of Waco to south of San Antonio. And it's a pretty good circle when it comes to resources, both of the cuisine and the community and artistic types. So I am not implying that living within a 100-mile radius is either easy or hard. I'm simply making the case that it is best for us to do because it helps us live on a more human scale. So let's talk about this a little bit as this current theme of rootedness on this podcast. You know, I had mentioned several episodes ago that when we talk about rootedness, we're talking about where we are digging our roots and allowing ourselves to then flourish, you know, bloom and grow and thrive because of those well-dug roots. Well, that implies a particular slice of land, right? A particular postage stamp of soil. It doesn't just mean living remotely, digitally, independently, without any sense of place or time even. So in order for us to be rooted and then therefore flourish, I'm going to make the case that we need to live locally. And the most obvious way of doing this is in our purchasing, such as local food, local vendors, our artisans. But this also does look social. This looks like reaching out to resources and communities that are truly local to us, not just convenient necessarily, because if we did that, that would just be, you know, a click of the finger and pull up your trusty private Facebook group or what have you. We're talking actual in our in-person real life neighborhood. That looks like those sorts of community resources. It also looks like the news we consume and the work we do. In other words, just all the ways we expend energy for a living, that those should be local. Why is that? Because honestly, tech and progress in itself isn't necessarily bad. It's not, I mean, those things are morally neutral whenever they are just looked at face value. However, they can lead us away from human flourishing because it promises a certain convenience that eventually affords us the convenience of looking the other way from our neighbors. It's the equivalent of driving down the interstate that cuts through so many small neighborhoods that we miss when we're on a road trip now because of said interstate. To me, I think of those villages in Europe, in particular the little Italian villages I'm thinking of, they take a long time to get to because the driving is so much slower. They're winding around hills. The roads are narrow and old. And you happen upon those tiny little quaint Italian villages where the roads within them are not even car friendly because they were built so long ago. And so you have to park outside the village and walk within them. That meant that these little hamlets were pretty small. You had your church in the center with the bell that would ring for those out in the fields cultivating the farmland could hear when it was time to come in for mass. That meant the restaurants, the pubs, the, you know, whatever resources you needed had to be within your village because that was how you lived. You walked everywhere. You perhaps had an animal with which you could ride. But beyond that, there was only so much you could do in your finite time. And so we lived small. And I guess the point I'm making is not that we should eschew the tech that allows us to fly across the world in one day. Those things I'm grateful for. I take advantage of them. But simply to live local because it's how we were made to live. We live in finite human bodies. You know, if you think of the model of Jesus, he walked everywhere. And God being God, if he wanted to make our Redeemer to live in a 21st century culture, he would have. And yet, we have him living in the Roman Empire where he walked everywhere at roughly 3 miles an hour. And so there's something to be said about the ideal following suit. So what do we mean exactly by living locally? Well, we mean living in community, but that means what is community really? We say that all the time. And in fact, it's a word that's used on the internet so often, it's become my little bugaboo that comment sections of social media accounts can be called, quote, communities. And that's not a community. Let me give you an example from one of our prophets and sages of our current era. That is Mr. Wendell Berry. Here's what he says about community. A community is not merely a condition of physical proximity, no matter how admirable the layout of the shopping center and the streets. No matter if we demolish the horizontal slums and replace them with vertical ones. A community is the mental and spiritual condition of knowing that the place is shared and that the people who share the place define and limit the possibilities of each other's lives. It is the knowledge that people have of each other, their concern for each other, their trust in each other, the freedom with which they come and go among themselves. That's what we mean by community. It's a mental and spiritual condition of knowing and being known. It's having definitions and limits in order to thrive and flourish because we can only do so much. And if we live within those boundaries, then we are living in a human scale that we know deep down speaks truth to us, you know? We know that that's what we were made for, that that's the size of life we are meant to live on a day-to-day basis. So am I personally good at this? Not really. I'll be honest. There are some areas where I am still failing at living within my 100-mile radius. Shopping online is just way too easy, and it's usually cheaper. And I hate this. I really do. I do buy local as best I can, but I still shop online. And I don't love that. Social media, texting, and other forms of digital connection really do make it way too easy to spend time with people virtually. It gives us just enough of that hit of connecting with a person to make us think that we really have truly been in community. And we haven't. It's kind of like just scratching an itch. It might feel nice for a few seconds, but then it gets itchy again. And this is true when it comes to the news as well. I don't know about you, but I find it far too easy to get caught up on national and global news, and ironically harder to know the local news, the news that actually will affect me more than something happening across the world. And again, I'm not implying not caring about that, but perhaps not to the detriment of knowing what's happening in my local school board and in my mayor's office and in my state Congress. There are things to know that have a more immediate impact on me than the things I actually do know that happen thousands of miles away. But am I getting better at living within a 100-mile radius? I can honestly say yes. So I have cut way back on connecting online. This has been most obvious in my social media presences. I have not been on Instagram in years, and I am all the happier for it. I don't need to rehash that. You all know if you have listened and read to me for any serious length of time. I have not been regularly on Facebook since 2016, and I can't even fathom spending my time on there at this point. And because of all this, I have more bandwidth and energy to make more serious efforts to know the people in my neighborhood and cultivate actual in real life relationships. This has been a game changer. This has also been the case within my local parish. It has been very fruitful in my personal life, and I am grateful for it. I also do my best to read those little community impact newspapers. You know what I'm talking about, the ones that come in the mail unsolicited. There are real people that actually write those words and tell us about the local parks and what's happening with the knitting club and the 4-H and the, you know, the general local elections and the bonds that need to be passed. Those are real resources and bits of information that are worth our time. So I've been doing my best to at least skim those before they hit the recycling bin. I also really truly do buy local in a variety of ways. I check our garden center first for seeds and soil and seedlings and fertilizer and other supplies I need before I head up to the big box store. We buy our coffee from the coffee shop 200 steps from our front door. I drive several minutes away once a week for our raw milk and have really gotten to know the farmer and appreciate her family. I do my best to go to the farmer's market as often as possible for our meat and seasonal veggies. It's not perfect, and I still appreciate our grocery store, which, blessedly, here in Texas, we have a fantastic local chain that is another form of buying locally. And I try to take part in the local arts and event scene, going to community theater and concerts and general events that happen in our scrappy little town here. And then the work I do online, I really have made a concerted effort the past few years to shift towards encouraging readers and listeners, you guys, to do the same sort of thing in your in real life world. Because again, online communities aren't communities, or at minimum, they're not the same thing. We use that word, but we don't really mean it in the true sense of community. Because again, think about Wendell Berry's definition that he said. Again, he says, a community is the mental and spiritual condition of knowing that the place is shared and that the people who share the place define and limit the possibilities of each other's lives. It is the knowledge that people have of each other, their concern for each other, their trust in each other, the freedom with which they come and go among themselves. That is community. And that's really, really, really what I want for you, just as much as what I want for me. And so if I do go online, and I do talk globally to whoever wants to listen, I hope it's that you can take whatever it is that I publish or say and bring it to your local community for the betterment of your common good. So what's the takeaway here? Well, because ultimately we're talking about living on a human scale, I want to dovetail with a recent essay I wrote about unplugging. You probably know what it is that I'm talking about, where I encouraged us all to actually unplug and not just talk about it online. I listed 10 things we should all do in order to unplug, and they were small and simple and doable. Well, it does not at all strike me as odd or ironic that roughly 6 of those, maybe even more, also have to do with living locally. So I'm going to re-mention those 6 things and connect them to how you could live more within your 100-mile radius. So the first one is every week, connect in person with someone in your real world, whatever that might look like for you. Grab coffee, go to a book club, connect at your library, go to church and actually say hi to people, whatever it is, connect in person with someone in your real world and do that every week. Number two, go on a daily walk, and twice if you can, actually, one in the morning and then one after dinner. This is truly living on a human scale, that 3 miles an hour I was talking about earlier. It forces us to actually see the community that we otherwise would drive by. And yeah, I'm talking poetically, like smelling the roses, but I'm also talking about perhaps getting to see people. There's something life-giving, you know, whenever you see a cluster of bikes in a front yard, that means community, neighborhood, kids have gotten together and are at that house together. There's also something really life-giving and encouraging to see physical human beings out and about in your neighborhood. It feels, I mean, depressing is the only word I can think of, but it actually is discouraging when you can drive through a neighborhood and only see other cars. So get out there and be part of that desire for change, for seeing other people, and go on walks. It's also good for you, and it's good for your mental health. Number three, make 90% of your meals at home and eat at least 3 dinners a week around the table with no screens on or present. So there's the obvious health and communal benefits to that on a family scale, but I will just piggyback on that and say, try to invite people over for dinner. We could talk for a whole other episode about the hangups we might have about inviting people over for dinner. I won't go there other than to say, a lot of our hangups are unfounded because we are humans who like to converse with other humans and interact. And so the messy house, the imperfect dishes, the less than perfect 5-star meal, whatever it is, that's actually a bonus and not a liability to coming over to someone's house. So just do it. Make a goal to invite someone over for dinner sometime this next month and see what you think. Number four. Start a backyard garden, or at least have a potted plant or two. As I've said, all the science is there about why we need literal dirt on our hands and feet and why that soil is good for us. But besides our own mental health and physical health benefits, there's something really grounding about digging some actual roots in the plot of land on which we live in order to cultivate our own roots, all the puns intended. There is really a life-giving process to growing some tomatoes or cucumbers or lettuce in your own soil. And yes, you could go to the grocery store and get it just as cheaply and probably easier. Same with going to the farmer's market. But don't deprive yourself of the joy of growing something in your own soil. It really helps create a sense of I belong here and that this land on which I live is life-giving for me. Number five, cultivate an analog hobby. So not a thing you do online that just looks like a sport or some kind of craft or a thing to tinker with. I know that feels a little I know that seems incongruous with this idea of living locally, but think of the hobbies you could cultivate in community with other people. You know, if you go to the rec center and swim laps, over time, you're going to see the same people doing that. There are team sports you could join in the neighborhood. There are knitting groups at the library. I've seen them. There's all sorts of ways you can build community with a hobby that you could find and surprise yourself with enjoying more than you ever thought possible. And then number six, fight aseidia by doing the opposite of what you feel like doing at any given moment. So we've talked about aseidia before in the past few episodes. Do the harder thing, even when you don't feel like doing it, and even in small ways. So to me, the obvious one here is don't default to online to scratch your community itch. Do the hard thing of leaving your dorm room and going to that meeting that you really don't feel like doing, or the party that you've been invited to by the neighbor, or going to church when you really don't feel like it. Just do the harder thing and resist the urge to default to the internet as your source of community, because it just isn't satisfying in the long term. Don't rely on virtual living to replace analog living. I'm not going to repeat myself about how online communities aren't real communities in the true sense of the definition, but I just did. They don't have the same shared space that's required for a true flourishing community. And your mental health and your emotional health will thank you just as much as your relational health. Where else but in a local neighborhood and in local community-specific groups, like parishes, could you find teenage boys obsessed with Minecraft and grandmothers obsessed with mining their backyards for cucumbers, living their lives in proximity to one another? It'd be a real shame to miss out on that. So go, be encouraged that God has you where you are on purpose, and don't waste that away by wishing you were somewhere else. Live as best you can within your 100-mile radius. Give yourself lots of grace for doing it imperfectly, and make it an effort for the benefit of not only you, but for the community. Somebody around you is missing out on something you could give, and you would hate to deprive them of that. So soon, in the next episode, I'm going to have a guest on I think you'll love, who is really embodying his 100-mile radius. I think you'll absolutely love this young lad from across the pond. And then a bonus is you'll also get to hear a beloved familiar voice that some of you have been asking about. That is going to do it for this particular episode of Drink. You can find all episodes, as always, at adrinkwithafriend.com. And you could also find me and all my stuff at tishoxenrider.com. And for all of this and everything we talked about, you can just head to the show notes of this episode. Kevin MacLeod did the music, Kyle Oxenrider did the editing, and I'm Tish Oxenrider. I will be back here again with you soon. So in the meantime, thanks for being here. I'll see you.